Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. You know, we live in a time when our attention is being pulled in all sorts of directions. You know, I'm wondering where in a world where we have so many options on the big screen and now in the small ones, does theater fit into that? Well, here's the thing. The good news is that if you're a theater lover, on average, about 47 million Americans attend a live theater event every month. So theater's alive and well. We're talking about theater because our next guest is the winner of the 2003 Pulitzer Prize for his play Anna in the Tropics, a drama set in Ybor City in 1929, which tells the story of a Cuban-American family of cigar makers. He splits his time between Miami and New York. This weekend, he's at Florida Atlantic University as part of its Playwrights Forum and Masterclass series. I am honored to be sitting here with Nilo Cruz on Sundial. Nilo Cruz, welcome, man.
Thank you very much.
It is a pleasure. You know what? I was thinking about that, you know, with theater attendance seems to be pretty high, especially in Broadway. But I've read that you feel there's a problem with theater and that it's about opening theater up to more diverse writers, but also more diverse audiences. And so I just want your thoughts on how exactly do we do that?
Well, I think that we need to write about the other. We just cannot just concentrate on events that are happening in our country. I think it's important to embrace the world, different subject matters, and so that way you get an array of people coming to the theater. And I think once they see a play that they identify with, then they probably will come back to the theater and see a play that perhaps has nothing to do with them or their identity. But they would be somehow inspired to come back to the theater and be part of it.
I'd imagine that's you got to get what through the producers, right? I mean, the people who are running the theaters to convince them to be a little more daring and find those plays. They're playwrights all over the world. Find those plays and present those to audiences. But really, how do you get past that? How do you convince them, those gatekeepers, I guess, to open it up?
Well, I mean, that's a beautiful thing about Theater Lab. Theater Lab has been concentrating on doing new work. Before it was Theater Lab, it used to be Florida Stage in Palm Beach. And it was actually Florida Stage was the first theater company to do my work here in Florida, in South Florida. And but I think that there's a lot of theaters out there that are really embracing new work. And I have a theater company, Coarca Images, and we embrace new work, and we do theater in English and Spanish. So there's a lot of us out there who are really trying to, again, inspire a new audience and bring to a theater a new audience.
And if, from your experience in all these years and the decades, really, you know, are the audiences open to those experiences, or do you have to kind of pull them in a little bit?
They are open. You'd be surprised. And I tell you, I mean, I spend more time here in Florida than I do in New York because I feel I can make a difference here in Miami with the theater community. And again, that's what I'm trying to do is try to, it might be pretentious on my part, but to try to revolutionize the theater and really get people back to the seats and where they can experience profound theater and in theater that has to do with politics and but just playwrights who really are daring in the way they observe humanity and bring it to the stage.
You're the first Latino to win the Pulitzer in drama, correct?
Yes, I am.
Lin-Manuel Miranda has also won one as well. I'm curious, you know, I mean, look, when you win that award, I mean, now it's with your name, and that brings something. I don't want to say credibility because, you know, you can have a lot of credibility without it, but obviously it puts you more in the spotlight. People see that. I wonder, though, this, when I bring up Mr. Miranda because of the success of Hamilton, mm-hmm. what has that done to, again, attract more audiences? Because with Hamilton, he's got a show that is approaching a topic in a very unique way. He's brought hip-hop to theater, but he's also using Black and Hispanic actors playing roles of the white founders of the country. How has that helped theater, or has it? Maybe it's just in Broadway.
Oh, I think it has really helped theater tremendously because of the use of music, of hip-hop music. It really, inspires the young generation to come to the theater. But what's really great about it is that it isn't just the appeal of hip-hop music, but with it comes this subject matter, which is really deep, which is about American history. So it's very smart what he's done. And I think that a lot of new theater... the new theater audience that he's creating will probably come back to the theater, and you just need one play to inspire you.
One show opens
absolutely
it up.
And I think this is what Hamilton will do. It's creating a whole new generation of audience members.
Again, I'm talking with Pulitzer Prize winning playwright Nilo Cruz. Again, this weekend he's at Florida Atlantic University as part of its Playwrights Forum and Masterclass series. I wanted to talk to you about the themes of your plays. They tend to be centered on the immigrant experience. And, of course, you know, as I mentioned, you're a Cuban-American. And you arrived in Florida, was it 1970s?
1970, yes.
1970, exactly. And it was part of the Freedom Flights.
Yes.
What are your memories of the era, that era in your life, and leaving Cuba and arriving in the United States?
Well, when I came to the States, I felt very secluded. It was a foreign country to my parents. It was certainly a foreign country to me. And so I lived a very secluded life, which is not a bad thing, because that's now I'm not afraid of being secluded or the loneliness that I have to confront when I face the empty page. And because, you know, the life of a writer is all about solitude and being able to observe the world from a certain distance.
I mean, how old were you at that point when you got here?
I was 10 years old.
10 years old. I mean, that's already this really important part of our lives as we're transitioning and growing up. So you're already going through this very big experience and leaving one country, coming to another. Was that transition easy for you at all? What was it like when you got here?
No, well, imagine, I felt like I had to grow very fast. My parents didn't speak the language. I didn't speak the language either. As a matter of fact, when I started to learn the language, I became the translator for my parents. So here's a little boy that was 10 years old that was translating for their parents. Every time they would get a bill at home, I was the one who had to read the bill, and which came in very handy too, because there were times that I didn't show my report card to my parents.
I tried not to either, but I didn't have luck with that. So when did you start writing? Do you remember the first thing you wrote?
Yes, I started writing when I was 28 years old. But before that, I was taking theater classes. Matter of fact, I started taking theater classes here in Miami at Miami-Dade College, when I really became serious about it was when I went to New York and I studied with Cuban fellow writer Maria Irene Fornes, and who became my mentor. Studied with her for 3 years in New York.
I want to come back, though, when you started theater, and how did that happen? What was that first moment where all of a sudden you're like, well, I got to go try this?
I was working at Cedars of Lebanon, which is the UM hospital in the physical therapy department. And one day I had this epiphany to go to the theater, and I went to Coconut Grove Playhouse and saw a play called The Dresser. And I was mesmerized by that play. And I thought to myself, I want to be part of the theater. I don't know in what capacity, whether I want to be an actor or a director or a scenic designer, but I want to be part of the theater. And that's when this next day, I decided to enroll at Miami-Dade College and study with Teresa Maria Rojas, who had a theater company called Prometeo.
Did you have any pressure from your parents, though? I mean, when you told them what you wanted to do, or was it, you know, great, go for it, son, do it?
I think they were happy that I found that maybe I found the road to something. I mean, of course, they wanted for me to maybe study something a bit different, perhaps be a doctor, but they couldn't stop me. It's a passion. It was a fever that I couldn't make it go away, and they couldn't stop it for me. And from then on, my life changed. That it just I surrendered to the art form of theater, and that led me to New York, led me to graduate school, and led me to great theaters like the Public Theater in New York, where I became an artist in residence.
Right from the beginning, when you started writing, when you really started taking it seriously, was it just easy for you to always go back to what you know? Not all writers do. I know they tell you, write what you know. But was it easy for you to just go back? Because so many of the themes of yours, you know, again, that immigrant experience, Did you just go back to that, or did you fall into this by accident somehow?
I always go back to usually Cuba. Go back to Cuba in many ways, and my experience and the struggles that I saw my parents go through. But I think every time I enter a play is that I forget that I'm a writer. I feel like I have to learn the rules of the new play, that I don't impose the rules on the play. I have to learn the new rules of the play, and I have to do research, and I have to. It's almost like embarking on a journey and in unknown territory, and I have to document myself, and I have to let the writing take its own course.
Was A Park in Our House, was that your first play? It's one of your first plays.
No, to be honest with you, my first play had to do with Italian-Americans. I was in New York and sort of very inspired by the Italian-American community in New York. And I thought that I could write about Italians, about Cubans via Italians, you know, and that the immigrant experience, which of course was very different. But somehow I was a little terrified about writing about the Cuban experience in Miami. And I did it in a very indirect way. And much later, a producer came to me and said, well, what are you doing writing about Italians? You should write about your own people. And I did. It was at that play, which became, it was called Boot Country at one point, and it later became a Bicycle Country, which is about balseros coming from Cuba to the United States.
Why were you afraid of writing about being a Cuban?
I tell you, I was here in Miami when there was a bomb threat during the Hispanic Theater Festival for a writer who lived in New York, who's Cuban, and she was considered a leftist writer. So I sort of became a little terrified, you know, with that experience. And also I just felt that being here in Miami is that it seemed like with the Cuban community in Miami is that their pain was so grand that it felt like if you would write about anything related to Cuba, you were not able to encompass that great pain. So it took me a while to, but I mean, I think more than anything is that a writer needs to come to, a writer needs to find his or her voice. And it takes a while before you find your voice. I had a student from Iraq who was not able to write about her experience, really wanted to write about what was happening in her country, but couldn't do it. And I said, you know what, just imagine another character and place your own experiences into that character that is not you, and allow the writing to change. So I think that's something that happened to me with that initial experience of writing about Italians, but somehow really writing about Cubans. And then, of course, then later on, I just obtained the courage to write about anything I want. As a matter of fact, in this festival, I've written about Afghanistan, a young girl in Afghanistan who disguises herself as a boy in order to survive in that country.
We're talking with Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Nilo Cruz and talking about that process of finding your voice as a writer, as a playwright. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of his latest works coming up right here on Sundial on WLRN.